1 Corinthians chapter 10 is where our text verse will be taken from this morning. One verse there that we'll begin with. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." And with that simple warning, let's bow our heads together and ask the Lord to bless what we consider this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you care about our standing before you, our state before you, Father, our condition before you. We thank you, Lord, that you allow things to come into our path. Father, you do keep things from us that we are not capable of handling, perhaps, but you allow those things to come and you give us the enabling for whatever does come, Lord. So I pray that you'd help us to take that admonition, that exhortation, Father, to consider how it is that we stand before you, that we might be prepared, Father, as you give us the enabling to endure whatever it is that might come our way, Father, whatever that might be. Help us to trust you for it, and help us to seek you for that. And bless us this morning as we seek that direction and that instruction even now. We praise you and we thank you, Father. Be glorified as we consider your word and are strengthened by it, I ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Standing in the Lord is, it's a favorite thought of mine. It's a favorite consideration of mine for a number of different reasons. I suppose it's primarily because it applies to everybody. It's not something that just isolates one or the other. It's something that's easy to consider because we're all understanding what standing is. And it's always pertinent to us. I like considerations. Now listen, all of the Bible is applicable to all of God's people all the time. But there are certain things that are more applicable to different ones in different seasons of their life. But this is one of those things that it doesn't matter if you're young, old, male, female, whatever the situation might be. How we stand before the Lord and how our standing, what our standing is and the manner in which we're standing and the fact that we are standing and how it is we're standing. I'm getting well ahead of myself, but it's something that we always need to consider and reconsider and then reconsider again. Now, naturally speaking, if I'm just looking at standing as being that lesson for us, that illustration for us, if we look at standing, naturally speaking, we all understand what it is and why there is a benefit in standing. Here's Mr. Lachlan walking forward here. He's standing up. If he wasn't standing right now, he wouldn't be walking up that aisle. He has to be able to stand up. Now, there are certain helps and assistances and adjuncts that we can use if we're not capable of standing, certainly, but we all understand that to get up from the chair, from the couch, from your bed, off the floor, whatever the case might be, helps us so that we might have mobility, naturally speaking. It helps us so we might engage in our surroundings, that we're not stuck in one place. We need to be able to stand up. Standing leads to walking, which simplifies all of these things, moving around and engaging with our environment, the people in it, the things, the opportunities to do things. Now, again, not everyone is capable of doing, that natural capability, that standing. We understand that, naturally speaking, there are those who can't identify personally with that, but we do understand, the benefit of it. And if we take that illustration and we move it to spiritual things, it's important for us to understand that even if we couldn't stand naturally speaking, spiritually, all of God's children can stand. We can stand spiritually. Now, we understand from Scripture, there are a number of different references that I could take you to, but we'll look at Ephesians chapter 6 for perhaps the most familiar, the most considered, the most easy to understand exhortation, if you will, to stand in faith, to stand spiritually speaking, if we're just establishing this thought of standing in the Lord. We're enlisted by God into his army. The kids sing, "I'm in the Lord's army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery," so on and so forth. We are enlisted in his company, in his army, because we are doing battle. And Ephesians 6 speaks to that battle and the standing that we need to, engage in while we're engaging in that battle. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." It comes from him, the strength to engage in anything that he calls us to must come from him. But then he gives us the provision for that. "Put on the whole armor of God, so that what? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." To stand up, when the wiles of the devil would push us down, to stand up when the enemy's attacks would cause us to not want to stand, perhaps, to stand up when he would undercut us, to stand up when he would, you know, slide in from behind us and shiv us, perhaps. You know, I was thinking, I need you guys to watch my six this morning because I can't turn around very quickly. So you have to watch if any attacks come from the rear. I need you to let me know about that. But, you know, Satan doesn't warn you when he's coming at you. He doesn't let you know, hey, just so you know, I'm going to come take this razor and just real gently from... No, he doesn't tell you. So we need to be able to stand in those things. And so God, of course, gives us the provision for that. He gives us the whole armor of God to, well, protect us from those wiles, from those fiery darts. But he gives us the exhortation to go ahead and take up the whole armor of God in verse 13. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We're familiar with this concept, familiar with this thought. I've taught it a number of times. Others have taught it a number of times. Now let's look at it in a practical application, a literal presentation. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, it gives an illustration of that calling for us. Now he's speaking to the Levites here. This is good King Hezekiah. He was a godly king. Made some poor choices, as we all do, but he was a godly king of Judah. And part of his appointment by God was to restore and repair worship there in Jerusalem. And in doing so, he called the priests, he called the Levites, those ones that served in the temple, and he encouraged them, exhorted them, well, to do as we are, as we're called. We're kings and priests to God. And so this applies to us in a figurative sense. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11, look what he calls these Levites and priests to do. He says, my sons, do not be negligent now. Pay attention. Negligence means that you have omitted a requirement, a responsibility. You have, grossly done something perhaps that went against what you should have done, what you knew to have done. Don't be negligent now. You understand your responsibility, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him. And then he goes on to elaborate, to serve him, and that you should minister to him and burn incense. And we're called to do the same as children of God. In this day and age when we are called those kings and priests to God, we've been called to serve him, to minister to him, to burn incense, the incense of our prayers, that is, to stand before him. So indeed, it doesn't matter what your natural physical capability is. It doesn't matter if you've never walked a day in your life. Naturally speaking, you might be inhibited, but spiritually speaking, you've been called to stand before the Lord. And not only should we stand before him, but we should stand well before him. We should stand skillfully before him. And that's what we'll talk about this morning, is standing skillfully. Now, you might ask yourself, how do you stand with skill? I mean, you're doing it up there. Your neck is, you're a decrepit old man today, and you're standing up there. So how skillfully, what skill is involved? Well, let me say it this way to begin with. I delivered all three of my kids. Now, some women, I have met with some real pushback from some women that said, you didn't deliver anything. It was her that did it. I was there. And I'm not going to be crass or lewd, but I played catch with my kids, and I caught my kids. I delivered my kids when they were born. And I'm going to be honest with you, I love my kids. I think they have great talent, but they were terrible standers when they were born. Not one of them, I had to carry them everywhere that they went. You know, Sarah, I watched her carry Addison back to the nursery because she was too lazy to walk herself back there. Babies aren't born with this capability. They're not born able to stand, and, at 9 months old, about thereabouts, a year old, somewhere thereabouts, perhaps, when they actually do learn how to stand, what do they always do? Well, it's a good thing they're wearing a pamper that has 5 inches of padding because they always fall down like that, right? There's a certain skill that is involved in standing. Not just in standing, but there's a skill involved in standing well. While we were not born to stand, naturally speaking, we weren't born capable of having our legs placed underneath us and standing in an upright position, it's not entirely the same when you were born again. Brother David mentioned that this morning, how that is the important day of our birth, is that day that we were born again. And when we were born again, we weren't entirely, well, just big blobs like babies are when they're born naturally speaking. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it speaks to that standing that we automatically have when we are ushered in, invited, and given a place in the kingdom of God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I don't care how young a believer you are, once you have accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you stand in His grace. All that you do might just be standing there like a baby does, naturally speaking. But you're standing. All the same, you are standing in the grace of God. All of God's children stand before the Lord, but not all stand well. It might be something like this. Feet planted, feet established on the rock that is Jesus. You know, they might be on their back, perhaps, but your feet are still standing on the rock. But there is more skill that is intended to be garnered there. Now, we know this in part because what our text verse says. What does it say? What is it telling us is threatened there? Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Plainly, not all of God's people stand well spiritually all the time because there's a risk of falling. Many years ago, we had an ice storm, which Missouri is prone to do. These parts, we just had one a couple weeks ago. Many years ago, sometime in the mid-2000s, I don't remember, but I was working at the station out here, and we had an ice storm, and I mean, everything was glazed. It was one of those perfect storms of ice where everything, I mean, it's beautiful because the trees were covered, the lines were covered, power lines were covered, the streets were covered. And I remember driving in the fire truck out here in this neighborhood, real close to where Cody lives now. And I was driving out there, running out there, and the truck was doing this sort of thing. So we knew it was slick, but we had to be out. And I looked over and just happened to look over, relating the story to someone recently. But I looked out into this yard, and there's just regular house, sidewalk out there, and then there's a driveway out there, and it was just this perfect blaze of ice. You knew it was, you know, perfect for skating on. Absolutely impressive. And I saw this little old lady with a walker standing there right on her front porch, and she's like this. Now, we were having a good time, you know, making the truck kind of scoot, you know, this way and sliding this way and that. And she was, as we passed, she was looking out there and just looking like this over her driveway and the sidewalk in front of her. And of course, we all expected to be there in about an hour, you know, when she went down. But I remember seeing her face, and it still sticks with me because she was looking at it in just kind of this mix of fear, terror, kind of an inevitability on her face, just a despair. Because if she were to step out onto that thing and she'd go down, there's a good chance she would never stand again. There's a statistic out there, I hate to say this because I know we have some octogenarians in this place, but if you're over 80 years old, you fall and break a hip, 80% of those over 80 years old tend to pass away within a year because they don't heal so well from a broken hip. Clots can build up and so on and so forth. And I thought to myself, we're out here playing around, so to speak, in this truck. And we're sliding, you know, sliding this way and that way, having a good time. When you're 25, you do make those dumb decisions. But she was looking and she saw death out in front of her, saw debilitation in front of her. And it struck my heart that, well, if she were to go down and fall, it would cause her some real issues. Not all of God's people stand well. Not all of God's people are firm. Not all of God's people look at the same situations and recognize, I can play in this, so to speak. Not all are well, in a place where they can do that. So we take heed. We pay attention. We beware, so to speak. If you look at Ali's work and at hospitals all over the place, sometimes you look down, you see on their wrist, it says fall risk, right? because those people have an equilibrium issue. If they stand up, they're going to very likely fall down. Not everyone stands well. Not everyone has that skill to do that. And so we are supposed to look at our own standing, our own capability of standing, how we're standing, the means by which, and the talent that we have in standing in the Lord, and check and recheck and recheck and recheck again, no matter how old that you might be. It is a skill. It's a skill that needs to be developed, and it's a skill that can be lost and, well, given up and faltered. That being said, I got an object lesson for you here this morning. Some people are like, yes, object lesson. Some people are like, oh, please. Really, do we need this? Well, Nate might be one of those ones that says, oh, please, because I've actually determined to make Nate my object lesson. I didn't tell him what I was going to do with him this morning, but he did agree that he would come up here and allow me to put him on full display. And maybe embarrass him a little bit, but I appreciate it, Nate. So if you would come up here. I was going to say I need a lovely assistant. Nate's a lovely guy. But what we're going to do required that I have a guy up here, because otherwise I'd be shoving around a lady, and I can't have that up here. So thank you very much. I appreciate it very much. If you'll humor me this morning as I demonstrate this, and this actually works out great because I can't demonstrate for myself because of my physical issues. I'm going to have you stand right there, Nate. Now, standing is a skill, as I mentioned. So here he is. He's been doing, how old are you, Nate? 23 years this man has been standing. I mean, he's got this talent. He's doing it well. It's impressive. You should take notes because you can see that he's doing it fantastically here. When we stand, if I tell you to stand, I told him to stand right here next to me. And what we do, standing as we know it, you can see what you've got here. His knees are locked, his feet are about shoulder width apart. He's got this very respectfully, you know, just got his arms crossed and that sort of thing. He's standing. There's no doubt about it. Now, again, forgive me for putting, can I touch you? Is that all right? No lawsuits or liabilities here. Now, just stand. So if I do this, does it feel, I mean, what's he doing? Besides being annoyed and besides perhaps, you know, he's a stout guy. But if I push him and I do it a little bit more, you see that he kicks back. I feel like I'm in old karate class, you know, where the sensei would say, now stand right here, don't move. And then he'd punch you, you know, and that sort of thing. I push backward on him. You see, he takes it really well. Push a little harder and he readjusts, right? He's been standing for forever. He's really good. Now, if I push him from this side, you know, I'm not trying to embarrass Nate. I'm just trying to make it very plain. When you stand as we know how to stand, naturally speaking, yeah, he's upright. But I'm pushing on him. And he has to readjust. And he has to catch himself. And it doesn't matter if I push him from the front, if I push him from the back, push him from the side. I won't do that because the point is there. If I can just be trite with it, saints, you know life is going to push you. You know, we're going to be pushed by things. All right? Stay here for a sec. We're going to be pushed by things, you know, and it doesn't matter if it's your job. It doesn't matter if it's your spouse. It doesn't matter if it's your children. It doesn't matter if it's your health. It might be your age, which is associated with health, but sometimes our age gets up here and it bothers us there. We think about ourselves looking at the ice and thinking, I can't take it as I once did. We can think about our concerns and our circumstances. We can think about the circumstances, health, age, and all of that of the people that we love, because that can get up here too, right? It can push us. Those things are going to be a lot rougher on us than I was on Nate. I could come up and I could really give him a good shove and demonstrate how poorly he's standing right now, but you get the idea. Our enemy pushes us. Sometimes our mind pushes us in directions we don't want to go. Again, life is going to push you. Again, much stronger than I just pushed him. Now, given that we showed he's not entirely stable there, he had to move his feet back, he had to adjust a little bit, do you suppose that there are better ways that he could stand here, that if I did shove on him a little bit harder, and I don't want to push him back where he cracks his head on the piano, but If I were to just really come up and give him a good shove, are there better ways he could stand, still meet the definition of standing, and withstand the shove that I put on him? And by that definition and with that association, are there better ways that we can stand spiritually than just standing in the Lord like Nate is standing here now? If I asked you, Nate, since I pushed you a moment ago, and if I were to come and you didn't want to, I don't know, have to readjust, or if you didn't want to readjust, would you stand differently now? Can I really embarrass you and ask you to do what you would to stand better? Okay. Well, you know what I have in my... I have a list here of what Nate might do. It says Nate might bend his knees. Go ahead, Nate. Really embarrass yourself. I'm sorry. Just like you did. Bend it. He might bend his knees. He might lower his center of gravity. He might widen and or offset his feet, I put here. And he might put his hands out. Now, I... Go ahead and stand that way if you would, Nate. All right, here I come, man. Here I come. So if I were to shove Nate in this way, is he moving very much at all? I don't have to sit here and shove for you to understand what he was doing. When he prepares himself that way, was he going to hold up better when I gave him the shove? Of course he was. Nate, did that, well, how you were standing there, did it feel familiar to you?
Yes.
What did it feel like to you?
Wrestling stance.
Did it look like a wrestling stance to you wrestlers out there? Nate, thank you so much. I appreciate it. You can go have a seat there. Listen, it looks like a wrestling stance, what he just did. My lovely assistant, ladies and gentlemen. It looks like a wrestling stance for a number of reasons. Now, if you look at the definition of stance, stance is the way that someone stands. That's the definition of it. The way in which someone stands, especially when, well, as I have it in my notes here, when deliberately adopted. Now, if you watched the Chiefs game yesterday, if you watch any Chiefs game, any football, you know that a lineman, what does a lineman do when he lines up? He gets over there and usually they're down like this, or might see him back this way, or he might touch the ground or something like that. A wide receiver is going to go out and they're this way, or they're this way. A defensive back does the same thing. A running back is always this way. Or you might see a fullback touch the ground, whatever the case might be. Why do they stand that way? Why does a baseball player go like this? And he's going to hit, so he goes like this. I need a switch hit here. He goes like this. A gymnast, she might sit and do this sort of thing, but she always goes this way when she's getting ready to run. A stance is a way in which someone stands, especially when deliberately adopted. Now, I figured when Nate, when I told him I'm going to shove you, knowing that he has a history in wrestling, that he was probably going to do something along those lines. I saw Nate wrestle when he was younger, and that's exactly what he did. He took that stance there. Isn't that kind of appropriate for us? What happened in Ephesians chapter 6, by the way? When Paul was telling us to stand, he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he goes to verse 12. Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Let's be honest. If you can't stand up, naturally speaking, you're not going to be very good at wrestling, naturally speaking, most likely. But it doesn't matter what your natural condition is. All of us can stand up and assume a pristine stance, spiritually speaking. No matter what our athletic prowess is, no matter what it is, we can assume a very skillful standing position. Paul is telling us, not only do we need to dress for the situation with the armor of God, but we need to stand well, deliberately taking the appropriate stance. Deliberately, that means intentionally, that means making the mindset that we are going to stand correctly because you are wrestling against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age. You're in conflict, aren't you? We consider this often. You have been enlisted into the battle that the Lord has for you. You are battling against those things that would try to push back against your spiritual growth. You're battling against those things that would try to ensnare you and all of that. Again, no matter how old you are. You think these octogenarians in this assembly here don't have their own battles with the flesh day in and day out? Of course they do. They tell me that they do, for goodness sake. You're going to be pushed. No matter how young, no matter how old, you're going to be pushed by the enemy. You're going to be pushed by your flesh. You're going to be pushed by the world, so on and so forth. So you are daily called in Ephesians chapter 4. You're daily called to continue in that pursuit that Paul speaks of here in Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. This is where we're trying to go individually and collectively as a church. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. And what delineates and what characterizes a child in the Lord, much like it does a child in the natural, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, pushed back and forth, shoved to the point that they do have to readjust, and they are threatening to fall, and they are threatening to totter over and all of that. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, by the enemies coming after us, by the flesh lying to us, by our society telling us this is right, that's wrong, so on and so forth. Listen, saints, maturity and strength and deliberate actions that come with that maturity, deliberate and intentional, purposeful action, those things are necessary to not be tossed around by the things that would toss us around. Again, a baby is so happy just to stand there. And I guarantee, I don't care if it's, well, any one of these little ones, from my granddaughter down to Maggie. Man, Maggie walks by me, I'm putting her on the ground easy if I want to. Just boop, no problem. Bap, she can't stand against me because she's not good at it. She's not skillful at it. She's a baby. And I would be a big bullying old man. Those deliberate actions that Paul calls us to. To not be tossed to and fro, it involves assuming a stance and standing skillfully. So how do you do it? It seemed like it came pretty naturally to Nate. He hasn't wrestled for some years. And yet he still assumed a stance because that muscle memory was there. And because your body just naturally tells you at times, oh no, this guy's going to push me, so I need to crouch down a little bit. I need to set a little prop back here, and I need to put my hands out. He even pushed me back at one time. I wasn't expecting that. I didn't have that in my notes. But he had his hands out, and he was like, what's the best way to avoid being shoved than perhaps going on the offensive sometimes? Right? What's part of the armor of God? This isn't in my notes, but the sword of the Spirit, that is the word of God. Man, fantastic defensive tool, but we go on the offensive with that. A sword is intended to stab, to draw blood from time to time. Now, we're not looking for injury or anything like that, but it is an offensive weapon. And he protected himself by not letting my hands get upon him. That was a good picture, Nate. Well done. So how do we do this? How do we stand skillfully? Well, again, what did he do? He bent his knees, lowered his center of gravity, put his hands out, widened his feet, offset his feet. So what did he do in doing all of those things? Other than preparing for the push. That's all he did. He just prepared. He prepared himself. Each one of those things, when your knees are locked out, naturally speaking, when your knees are locked out, you can't push back on this anymore, not without causing some kind of pain or injury. When your legs are stiff and that sort of thing, there's the potential for passing out, certainly, but there's just not a lot of leverage there. If he stayed rigid and upright and I pushed him, he would just fall back like a tree. He bent, right? He had a certain measure of give. What he did was he prepared for that shove. He prepared for that push so that no matter what direction it came from, his feet were widened if I pushed him to the side. His feet were offset if I pushed him from the front or from behind, whatever the case might be. He prepared himself for the push that was to come. And so, of course, the picture is there to apply the same principle, spiritually speaking. To prepare yourself for the push. The push is coming. We're called to prepare ourselves day by day, intentionally and deliberately setting our feet, intentionally and deliberately bending at our knees, intentionally and deliberately putting our hands up to defend ourselves, as it were. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, Peter addresses this. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. Do you know what it means to gird up? It means in this day when they had robes, they had tunics and the like. If you're getting ready to go run, if someone's going to come and attack you, or you need to go somewhere, or you need to act, which we are called to do, our faith is supposed to be active, our brother said this morning, then what they need to do is hike it up, man. Nothing tripping up yourself. Or, rather than standing there knock-kneed, you're bending your knees in the preparation of activating those muscles and moving. Gird up the loins of your mind. Again, it doesn't matter if you can't stand naturally speaking. You bend your knees. You prep your heart, you prep your mind to listen and hear what the Word of God is, what the direction of the Lord is, and act upon it. Doesn't necessarily mean go somewhere, but it can. It doesn't necessarily mean speak something, but it can. It doesn't necessarily mean a number of things, but it can mean any number of things. You just need to be prepared for that when God calls you. But you also prepare yourself for the push from the enemy, from the attack. How? Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Saints, what reveals Jesus Christ to you? What brings that revelation to you? Jesus, who is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God is Christ in written form. Christ is the Word of God in human form. When he took that human form, we prepare our minds. We prepare for the push to come from the enemy. The push that is allowed by God. We prepare for that, well, primarily by seeking the Word of God. By knowing the Word of God. You're here this morning preparing yourself, learning more about the Word, I trust. And trust this isn't just some kind of vain thing that you're not staring out the window or you're not counting the ceiling tiles or the beams up in the ceiling. I trust that you are learning something, even if you've heard the Word for some generations. We're preparing ourselves just a little bit more for the push that is to come. Ephesians 6 verse 15 says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means preparing it for yourself. That means to put it together for yourself, as we've considered in the past, like a good meal, taking the time to rightly divide this, add this, bring this in, find out what flavor profiles are coming together here and presented in this recipe book of godliness and righteousness. Finding out and preparing for yourself the meal day by day by day. It's not something to just enjoy four times a week. It's not something just to enjoy for yourself on Sunday morning. It's something for you to partake in day by day by day. We don't just bend our knees and practice our wrestling stance on Sunday morning or Friday night or whatever the case might be. You prepare it for yourself. And you prepare yourself with it. And we need to be... Well, does the push only come on Sunday mornings? Let me say it that way. Do we only get pushed by the enemy on Wednesday nights? Well, no. I hope you feel pretty safe here, that you can walk into these walls and feel like you're not just going to be attacked by Satan or that sort of thing, although he can weasel his way up in here. But we leave this place and we spend the vast majority of our time outside of these walls together. We're out there. We're out there in the world. We're out there at work. We're out there at school. And where do you suppose the enemy might take the greatest opportunity to come after you? Should we have our knees locked, spiritually speaking, when we're out and about in life? No. That can even be in your home. You can lock your knees and stand there rather unskillfully in your own house. Man, Satan can find you in the walls of your most intimate place, of your most safe-feeling place, in the walls of your own home. Saints, the Word of God helps you to prepare yourself, helps you to know how to prepare yourself, to bend your knees and widen your stance and get your hands up. Be offensive and defensive in the Lord. If then you were raised with Christ, Paul says in Colossians 3, in verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, raised from the dead with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. When you seek the word daily, let me put it to you this way. And this isn't just trying to look at things negative and say, don't do, don't do, don't do. Here's the issues and here's the problems and here's the holdup. But let's look at it from that perspective. If the only time you seek the word of God are these four times a week, be it this one time a week, this two times a week, whatever the case might be when you attend here, if that's the only time that you seek the word of God, well, as I've said before, it's shortchanging you. That's, man, you're starving. You're starving, spiritually speaking, in the word of God. When you set your mind on something, as it says here, set your mind on things above, that means to set your mind on it all the time. It doesn't mean that you have to have your Bible. I'm not going to pick it up because of my case, but it doesn't mean that you're just walking this way, and, you know, and you're going into the store and you have, you know, I'm on Exodus, now I'm in Leviticus, you know, and you know, that's not what we're called to do. It means to set your mind on the things contained here if your face is not in it. Now, is that really feasible? Well, I'll tell you this. Let me use our friends, the Shoops, once again, as far as their kid. How often do you think about Addison? All the time these days. I guarantee it, it's all the time. I've had three kids. Have you had a new job? Have you had, well, been a newly wed? How often do you think about your new spouse after you've been married? Now, that can change over the course of time, certainly. But when you have a new spouse, when you have a new child, everything all of a sudden is revolving around Addison these days. Well, Emily said that Zach was going to be gone the other day, and she's like, pray for me while I watch her by myself. Because now you can't just drop everything and go grab coffee. You got to pack her in the car seat. You got to get her in the car seat. If you're going to go get coffee, probably you say, no, I'm just not going to do it. Your life is all of a sudden wrapped around this little ball of meat, and you're like, how can this little thing impact everything? And even though you might question it, it might cause you some inconvenience in the time and inconvenience in the moment, your mind is set on that little one there. Your mind is set on your new spouse. Everything is revolving around your new job. You can get a new car, and you can sit there and think, I'm going to go have a look at the wheels, you know, and pick up the blinds and look out there and see. Your mind is set on certain things. And over the course of time, those things can maybe change and it can lessen. We're supposed to set our mind on the things above and never lose the shine from those things. Because the car is going to get old. You might love your wife, but she's going to get old to you after a while. Being a parent, well, you'll always be a parent, but should the Lord tarry, Addison's going to move out of that house before you know it. Isn't that crazy? I mean, so soon, things change that way, and you don't have to adjust your coffee schedule around her when she's 20 years old. We set our minds on things above, and it's supposed to impact what we do every single day. And not only every single day, every single moment of every single day. If you don't prepare yourself, if you don't set your mind on your new baby, and you go to coffee and you leave her at home, and you go about business as it was before you knew that baby, before you had that baby, and you just decide, I'm leaving her, you know, I'm not even going to think about her. Well, then you're going to wreck that situation, aren't you? And I'll leave it there. If you don't consider your wife, and you go about business as it was before you married her, if you don't set your mind on her, you're going to wreck that situation. You're going to wreck it. Saints, if you don't set your mind on Jesus, if you don't set your mind on His Word, if you don't set your mind on His will and allow it to shade everything that you do, to some measure, everything that you do, you're going to wreck that situation. It just is what it is. You're not going to stand well. And so we prepare ourselves daily. Daily, we get up. And daily, we should bend our knees, widen our stance, put our hands up by getting into the Word of God, by praying daily throughout that day. Sometimes time gets in the way. Sometimes things come up. Man, we have such opportunity and such availability of the Word to us. And Jesus is always available in prayer daily. Moment by moment, we can spread those feet We can bend those knees and we can adjust and reassess our stance and recognize if we're just standing there, well, locked out knees, well, threatening to totter over. And so that's what Paul tells us to do back in our text. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. I'm good. As soon as you say, I'm good, that's when you need to look and think. You need to stop and think, I think that I'm good. And you reassess. Lord, help me be good. Help me be right. Help me be solid. Take heed, lest you fall. Saints, if we aren't willing to check and recheck and recheck, then damage can come. We can become a fall risk. Now, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. We don't have any threat to us. No matter how poorly we are standing, there is no threat for us to fall in this manner. We're not ever going to fall from God. We're not ever going to fall out of the family of God. We're never going to fall outside of that promise of eternity with Him. But saints, we can still fall from, well, in a different manner. In Luke 12, verse 47, we can be chastised by God because we're not standing well. And Jesus talks about this in one of his parables. He says, that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. The Lord presents his will in his word. The Lord leads us in his word by his spirit. He gives us the means by which we can stand, put on the armor of God that we might withstand in the evil day. He gives us the means by which we can prepare ourselves and prepare, well, put on our have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He gives that to us. And so when we don't do that, when we stand there and the push comes and we start tottering and, you know, getting tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, well, sometimes he beats us with many stripes. Isn't that kind of rough sounding? Oh man, he chastens those who he loves, saints. Understand that. It's not because he just simply enjoys it. He chastens us. Those many stripes can come. And we can learn from that and we can recognize, oh, I think Sister Mary, when she was giving Allie piano lessons, Sister Mary would tell her, now your wrists are getting lazy, you need to bend them up this way. And your wrists are getting lazy because they fall down this way, and she'd say, you need to bend them up this way. And I think that she said her mom taught her to keep her wrists up by holding a fork underneath her wrists, so that when they came down like this, you feel a little poke right there. A little chastisement to help you stand a little bit better. Stand those hands a bit better. We can learn from the chastisement that comes. Or we can stand there with our knees locked and say, I'm not going to bend them. I'm not going to. Nate, when you did wrestling practice and you were in a wrestling stance for 2 hours at a time, did you get tired with it? Sure you did. Because you're engaging muscles, but it makes you stronger. You can stand with your knees locked because you're tired. You can stand there just like this because it's easier. Pretty soon you're going to pass out and you're going to go down. And you're going to threaten to topple over and you'll be a fall risk. Saints, I could beat this dead horse until it's deader. But what it comes down to is when we refuse to seek the things that God has for us, when we refuse to be changed and moved, when we refuse to put the activity into our flesh, the activity that begins with our faith, putting the activity into our faith that begins with seeking God's word, begins with knowing who he is, knowing what his will is, then what it does is it brings us much more than just chastisement from him. Falling, if you look at it, Strong says that the word fall can carry the thought of moving from a higher place to a lower place. Now, of course, if I sat there and I just went, yeah, and man, I just jacked Nate right in the chest and put him on his back, of course, he's going to fall, go from a higher place to a lower place. But, you know, we think, we who understand the ranks and the resurrection, that highest place that is near Jesus. Saints, I have no interest in you falling from a higher place to a lower place. And that's what happens when we don't bend our knees, widen our stance, and seek the word of God to teach us how to stand and stand skillfully. We've been blessed with an opportunity. Much like those Levites, my sons, do not be negligent now. Pay attention, okay? You understand. Do not neglect what the opportunity has been given, what capability has been ours. The Lord has chosen you to stand before Him, to serve Him, and that you should minister to Him and burn incense. What a blessing that is. But we need to make sure that we stand skillfully. I'll close with just a quick thought from Ezra. That man who returned improbably from Babylon, unexpectedly perhaps to some, after those many years, those decades in captivity, and he was sent back to again bring some healing to that place, Jerusalem, who had been so misguided over the course of those years. It says, on the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem after those many years there in the courts of that foreign king, according to the good hand of God upon him. How come? How? Why was the good hand of God upon him? For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. He'd bent his legs. He'd widened his stance, even in the heart of enemy country, if you will. He'd bent his knees and spread his feet, prepared for the push that came. Daniel prayed 3 times a day as preparation. Ruth prepared herself to go to Bethlehem with Naomi. And then she prepared herself to go out and glean in the fields when she was nothing but a mere widow in that time. And she prepared herself to go visit Boaz and secure that man who was such a picture of Christ, our own bridegroom. David ran toward Goliath. He was prepared to go do battle against that one. Bent his knees. And he didn't just stand before that man. Man, he ran to him. Because he was ready and he was prepared. Saints, that's what we're called to do daily. We wrestle daily. We're in contention daily. As you prepare for the push, prepare for the push. Get into the Word of God. Get into, set your mind on the things of God and let it shade everything that you do. It's what benefits you eternally. Do not forego the nearness that you have with Christ. Do not forego the closeness that He promises to those who have prepared themselves, for His coming. Look for and love His appearing. Don't just stand up straight and lock your knees and say, I'm standing, all right? I'm standing. Prepare for what God has for you daily. Set your mind on His Word, on His Spirit, and on His will, and stand skillfully, child of God. You can do it. Let's bow our heads together. Bless the Lord. I thank you, Father, this morning for this promise and assurance that is ours in Jesus, that we have a standing in the family and the household of faith. But Lord, as with everything that you call us to, Lord, there is a good way, there is a better way, and there is that best way that we might engage in, Father. And we pray that you would help us, Lord, to recognize that we can stand in the best way possible, prepared for those things that might come, prepared for those things that you allow to come, Father, but prepared, Lord, to engage in those things that they might work together for our good, as you have planned, to that greatest purpose that is drawing us near to Jesus, to remain there closest to Him for all of eternity. Thank you, Lord, for this promise, this capability, and the strength that you give us to lay hold of that promise. Bless us today, Father. Bless your people. Give us the capability, the desire to prepare and set our minds on things above, Jesus being first and foremost. Thank you for loving us, we pray. Help us to love you in return always. I ask this in the name of Jesus and for your blessings on your people. Amen.